Well, church, we did it. We've read through the entire Bible this year as a community from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and oh, what a journey that has been. You know, we started in Genesis and we heard God speak the world into existence. Then we saw quickly the fall of humanity and the consequences of that sin. And then we watch Jesus step into the story to redeem and restore what sin has broken. And now, here at the end of the year, this week, we finished Revelation where God says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And we've seen his faithfulness, haven't we? We've seen it unfold on every page that we've read. We've read, we prayed, we discussed God's word together with our family, with small groups, with friends and homes, and on church here on Sunday. And here is, for me, what I think is the best part of all this, is that through this very simple, faithful habits of being in his word, of living in community and praying together, God has been transforming us. And that's happened this year. And oh my, personally, my greatest joy, and I mean this, my greatest joy has been being able to witness firsthand what God is doing in your lives as we've read his word together. And honestly, it's been humbling and encouraging and really motivating to me as I've met with men and women throughout this year just to hear their story of reading God's word together in community. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to begin by looking back at what we talked about to prepare for reading God's word together. So why God's word matters and how it shapes our lives. And then we're going to talk about the hope that God's word gives us and how it always points us and leads us to Jesus. And after that, here's what I really want you to hear, is I want you to hear from our own church family, people who have experienced these very things in their own life. I want them to come up and share with you what they've experienced as they've read God's word together this year. And then finally, what we'll do is look ahead to what God has for us in the new year. So that is the plan for today. And we've got kids in here, family in here, and we're going to love it. And we're going to rejoice together. All right, so that's where we're headed. So let's go ahead and we'll dive in. But before we get to point one, let me just put this morning into just a simple sentence that kind of captures the main point of what I want you to take away. And that's God's word, right? God's word has carried us this year. It's been shaping us. It's giving us hope, and it's leading us to Jesus. And we're going to keep doing that as we read his word together. And so back in March of 2024, can you believe that? Back in March of 24, we looked at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We looked at that verse together, and you remember what it says, church, right? You remember what that verse says? Yeah, that's right. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I told you back then, and I still believe it today with all my heart, maybe even more so today with all my heart, that God's word is fully sufficient for a life of faith and service. See, we don't need to add anything to it. And we certainly don't need to look outside of it or beyond it, right? God has spoken, and his word is enough. And here's what we've done and what I've loved about this year is that when you think about that verse, 2 Timothy, we didn't just read that verse, right? We experienced that verse together. And over these 12 months, we've watched this truth come alive. And many of you have built daily habits of reading your Bible. You're talking about the word together in homes and small groups and conversations throughout the week. You're texting friends about the passage you've read. You pray for one another as the word conforms us, it comforted us, and it strengthened us. And what I love so much about this is that these are those ordinary means of grace. That, in other words, it's those everyday ways that God grows extraordinary faith. And it's simple. It's not complicated. And you've experienced that this year. And from my front row seat, and let me just say thank you to all of you for letting me have a front row seat to your time with God. I've seen God move in ways that only He can. The Bible has been teaching us, correcting us, and shaping us, and equipping us. It's done all that this year. And not because, hear me on this, not because of a schedule or a reading plan or a checklist. That has some to do with it, right? Because it keeps us on track. But most importantly, it's because the living God and the powerful word that He has given us has been at work in our hearts this year. So we're not standing here today as a church that simply completed a Bible reading plan. No, not at all. We're standing here as a church that has been shaped by God's voice over this year. Trevor, you ought to stand up and shout hallelujah right now, because that is a good word.
Hallelujah.
There you go. And that leads us to the second thing that we've experienced this year. God's word doesn't just work in us, right? It takes our eyes off of ourselves and it lifts our eyes beyond us. Right? It fills us with a hope that's bigger than our circumstances and stronger than our fears. And you're going to hear some of that here in just a bit as people come up and share about their year reading God's word. But first, listen to how the Bible describes that hope, that eternal hope. And nowhere is it clearer than in Revelation 21. And if you were able to keep up with your Bible reading plan, because I got behind this past week myself, but yesterday you would have read Revelation 21. And it's just so cool because this is where the Bible concludes, right? And it doesn't do it with despair, not at all, but it ends with celebration. And so Terry preached on this as well last week, and I want to go over it again. So listen as I read, and you can follow along, and I'll read the first five verses. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for a husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. And then I love this part. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no more be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And he also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Hallelujah. Now, kids, first service, we had a ton of kids in here. But kids, I want to ask you a question. Okay, are you ready? Here it is. What makes you cry? Go ahead, say it out loud. What makes you cry? Oh, yeah. Well, maybe it's falling down, right? Maybe it's breaking a toy, getting your feelings hurt. Really, like one man told me, everything. right? Make some cry. There's a lot. But here's, kiddos, here's what I want you to know. That passage that we just read, the Bible says that one day, God himself will wipe away every tear. And that's great joy for us, because sadness and pain and suffering and sin will be no more. And parents, that is the promise of the Bible that we've been reading all year. It ends with joy, not sorrow. The God who breathed life into the scriptures will one day breathe life into a new creation. And again, Revelation 21 shows us a future where God makes all things new, right? He dwells with his people. He wipes away every tear. And that is the hope. Hear me on this. That is the hope that has carried believers for centuries. And it's that same hope that's been quietly working in our hearts this year as we've walked through the Bible together. That is no small thing. Everything that we've read this year, from Genesis to Revelation, has been pointing our hearts forward with hope. But listen, I want you to hear this too. Hope isn't an idea. Hope isn't a feeling. Hope isn't even a future place. No, hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. He is our hope. And God's word always leads us to Jesus, the word made flesh. And if there's one thing this year has shown us, it's this: the entire Bible points to Jesus. From Genesis, through Exodus, through the prophets, through the historical books, through some pretty dark times, the whole story has been pointing forward to Jesus. And by the time we reach Revelation, we see him standing as the Alpha and the Omega. And this means something for us today. It's powerful. When we open the Bible, we're not just reading words on a page. We're actually meeting a person, the same Jesus who created the world by his word, who stepped into the world to redeem us, who rose again in victory, and who will one day return and make all things new. That's the Jesus that the Bible continually points to. And this is why our shared reading this year has mattered so much. This is why hope has grown in our hearts, is because we've spent time looking to Jesus. Because when God's people open God's word, they encounter God's son. And so I am just so grateful, because I have seen firsthand the fruits that are in your lives this year from spending time in God's word. And I want you to hear a little of that yourself this morning. And so I've got five different folks that I want you to hear from this morning. So Scott, John, Robin, Clayton, and Megan. And I even have Amy Kane, a video from her. So come on up. As they, I want you to hear about their time in God's word this year. And Scott, as they'll making it up here, Scott, we'll go ahead and start with you. We had a great conversation about just how impactful reading God's word and reading big chunks of God's word were for you, because you were in God's word daily. But why don't you talk to people about how that this year's been for you?
Thanks, Jim. So I was really excited to read God's word together as a group. I attempted annual or year-long reading plans before, and I don't ever think I got past January, Jim. So this was really good. I was excited to have structure and accountability, and I'm excited about the structure we have next year, too. So for me, it really helped me hear God better. And I don't read a lot. I prefer to listen, so I listened most of the year, and I supplemented with, like, the Bible Project videos, especially when we got into some of the murky Old Testament. Yeah. But yeah, I just felt like God was in surround sound. Terry talks often about how we can hear from God's people, God's spirit, and God's word. And so it was helpful to have all those and be plugged into all those. And something that that God, I felt drawn to this year is relationships. And so God placed me in a lot of relationships, I think, to be used. And two in particular that I want to tell you about. One is a new couple. So I got to speak truth into a new young marriage. And Brianne and I saw God working through his spirit, his people, and his word profoundly.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And if you know this couple, you have no doubt that God is in their marriage. It is so cool.
Yeah.
Secondly, is around Father's Day, my one of my brothers and my dad, they severed their relationship, and that severance was communicated to be permanent. And so I went home and told my wife about it, and we felt like God was gonna request me to play a role in that. I didn't want to. We prayed for months that it would just be reconciled. I didn't really want to get in it, to be honest with you, Jim. But God placed it on my heart in all three of those ways. I found him calling me through his word, through his people, and through his spirit to take part and to go reveal hard truth. And so one of the conversations with one of them was kind of encouraging and coaching, and the other one was really rebuking. And I didn't think it would go well, and I didn't think it did. But a few days later, that one reached out to the other, and they reconciled. And we just sat back. My brother called me that night to tell me how the conversation went, and Bree and I just wept together at God's goodness, how he used God in that, how my brother was leaning on God. And so all of those things were not because I read the chronological Bible, but because I was plugged in and I was listening to how he wanted to use me, but it's all things that he did.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, here next, I want you to hear. So Amy Kane, I asked her to do a video, and she replied back to me, or not a video, but I asked her to come up here and share, and she replied right back to me and said, "Jim, thank you so much, and I would do it, but we're going to be in Western Kansas, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do it, but I would." And I replied right back and said, "Can you do a video?" And Amy was like, "Oh, Jim, I thought I was going to get out of it." But I want you to hear from her, because I think with her and Robin both, a lot of people feel this same way. They felt this I don't know what it was, this oh no, not again, because I've started a plan before and I never finished it. You know, you make it to Deuteronomy or whatever, and it just kind of, or Leviticus, it just kind of dies, you know. So I think she felt a little bit like that as well. But listen to Amy as well.
So I'm thinking back to Jim's first question about how did I feel about reading through the Bible in a year back when we first started. And I remember when Jim was getting way excited about it, and I was feeling kind of like a cloud come over me about it, because I was just intimidated over the idea of being held accountable, really, to so many scripture readings a week. And I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't know how I was going to encourage the women in my small group to keep up with it, because a lot of these young women are working moms or just working wives, and they have busy lives. Yeah, and I remember Jim also checked in with me mid-year and asked how it was going, and it was a lot smoother than I thought. I think just all of us doing it together, and then the sermons also being part of what was going on from week to week, made it a lot more manageable. And then, I mean, thinking back to 2 years prior to this, I tried to do it on my own, and I gave up after about 3 months because I didn't have people to do it with. And it was just, it's so much better when you can do it as a group and to do it as a community. And so that was a huge blessing in itself. And I think just made it really manageable. So I think about Terry, what does Terry say about going, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I feel like that resonated with being able to do this together as a church. And then I think Jim's other question had to do more with personally, how has it benefited me this year? Definitely putting all the stories together that I've read over many years but never have read in chronological sequence, but being able to see God's faithfulness over and over and his constant love and patience for us over time really just paints a beautiful picture that I don't think I've gotten to see altogether. And that just makes me want to be faithful over time.
Amen. All right, next, Clayton, Megan, come on up. Young family here with a lot going. And so talk to us about how this reading this year has been for you guys.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the year, Megan and I did the Bible reading plan together. And I was kind of nervous if we would make it through July, because that's when Elizabeth showed up, and we weren't sure how that was going to go, if we were going to stay with it. But the Lord was gracious, and we were able to stick with it. And he just really used his word this year to show me how patient that he is with those he loves, and how patient he is with his creation. I need to hear that as a sinner, and I need to hear that as a father. And it really stood out to me in reading the background before each section of reading, how saturated the Old Testament is with God's plan of redemption for the nations through Christ. And that was really encouraging to me this year. And then in October, Megan was sick for an extended period of time, and God's word was really just a balm to my soul and really encouraged us and kept us going, and it was the thing we looked forward to at the end of every day. And so the Lord's kindness just shined through his word throughout the year.
Yeah, I was excited to start the Bible reading plan, but like Clayton said, I was kind of like, I don't know how it's going to go after we have a baby, but it was really encouraging just having sermons every week that I knew were going to keep us on track, as well as discussing with small groups. And so then even after this one arrived, I was like, I want to keep going. I want to keep up. So that was an encouraging motivation along the way. I think for me personally, it was just cool to see how the Lord, in his providence, we would be reading, and I was like, oh, this like applies specifically to something going on right now. And we were reading things that I probably wouldn't have read, you know, this year if we weren't going through the Bible reading plan. For example, when we were going through Job, my sister was going through a really hard trial and not really through any fault of her own. And so it was just encouraging to read how God dealt with Job and his suffering, and to just really wrestle with how do we respond to God and how do we see God in such a way that helps us in our sufferings, and then to be able to talk through that with her as well. So that was just a big blessing God used in my life this year.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Robin, come on up here. Robin and I were at a gala, like in October, right? And there was an intermission, and we started talking, and we had the best conversation. Why don't you talk about how this year has been for you?
So I'm going to kind of repeat what others have said, but I really was thankful for the accountability, because I had tried reading the Bible all the way through. I've raised in a Christian home. I've read the Bible my whole life, numerous Bible studies, but I never read all, straight through in a year. And I had attempted those plans, and then, I don't know, 2 or 3 months in, quit, because I'd kind of sneak over to the New Testament, because I really love reading the New Testament, and I would go over there and then kind of just never get back to the old. And so it was a really good discipline, and I loved how the church was doing it all together. So we were talking about it in small groups, and we were having sermons going along with it, and I just loved that, and I didn't want to be left out. I wanted to keep up, so that was really good for me. And just through reading it chronologically, it put all those stories that I've heard all my life into a sequence, and it gave me a better overall picture of the biblical narrative. And I just feel like everything kind of came alive more and just made more sense, obviously, by doing that. And then I was just struck so much. So, you know, we were reading the Old Testament for a really long time. It was probably in October when we finally started the New Testament. And I was, you know, late summer thinking, oh, I just want to get to Jesus. I just was reading about the judgment and all of the prophecies and the violence all the way through. And then I just realized anew how serious God takes sin. It's serious business and how much we need Jesus. And I was just, my heart was just longing for that New Testament. I couldn't wait. And then finally in October, I got to Matthew and I read the lineage of Jesus, and it made more sense to me than it's ever made before. Just the lineage was exciting to read. Yeah. And then I read that he was born, Emmanuel, God with us. And I just was so filled with joy to get to Jesus, and just gave me a renewed sense of how amazing his grace is, how we don't deserve it, and how much we need it just from reading all of that in the Old Testament. So I was so thankful that we as a church did that, and that I could learn those things.
That's awesome. Hey, one thing about Robin is that when we were sitting at this gala, I just got to tell you this. We're sitting at this gala. Like I said, it's an intermission. And she leans over to me and she goes, I'm so glad we're in the New Testament. She was so glad. And then she said, Jim, and she started weeping when she said this. She said, Jim, usually when I get to these genealogies, I just skip over them, right? Come on, we all do that because I don't know the names. But she said, I recognize the names and I knew their story. And it just meant so much to her. It was so cool to see that in your life, Robin. All right. John, come on up. There you go. John and I drink coffee several times a month, a year. And we were out together drinking coffee. We were just talking about reading the word with our wives. And so I want you to hear from John.
I was the guy that said that I cry about everything. I'm not really sure why. I just know that as you get older, you get hopefully softer. I don't know. Peggy and I are very, very different. She's always been stay up late, get up later, unless she's going to work. And so 57 years of marriage, I'm always up by 6. If I'm not, she's checking my breathing. So I'd get up and have time in the Word, but when we started this, and I just need to say we're retired, so what we're able to do, many of you are not going to be able to do. This is this is what has worked for us, and it has been huge. I get up, have some time with the Lord, and whenever Peggy gets up, in the first couple of months, she felt guilty that she was in bed and thought I was in waiting on her. No, I was having a great time with the Lord. She can sleep as long as she wants to. When she gets up, then we read scripture together and pray. Typically, I was a little nervous too, but I knew we were going to do this, and I really wanted to do it together. But I didn't want to read through the Old Testament. Where'd Robin go? And the reason was not just skipping over the lineage in Matthew, but every time I saw a name I couldn't pronounce, oh my, it would have taken us months. So it did take us months, didn't it? 12 months. So we listened to it. We'd alternate reading the background, we'd pray, and then would listen to scripture. And there were a couple of things that really have shaped us and so exciting. One was we were reminded, and she reminded me because I had thought about it for a long time, but we had someone tell us early in our marriage that if God is at the top of the triangle in your marriage and your goal is to reach him, then you will come together in him in your marriage. And I wasn't sure how our marriage could be any sweeter. Now, it's not without heartache and problems, but we don't argue much anymore because we don't remember. So maybe she's right, maybe I'm right. You know, usually it doesn't make any difference. We just didn't know that our marriage could be any sweeter, and it has been unbelievably sweet in the midst of one of the hardest years in our lives. Yeah. And then one of the other things that we realized is that when we pray Scripture more often and more naturally. Because as we face an issue, mm-hmm. God brings to mind what He said in His Word. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking right now about, I think it's in Lamentations 3, I said to myself, the Lord is my portion. I will wait on Him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you. I wanted you to hear these stories, you know, and John's in particular meant a lot to me because Patty and I read the Word together. So, and Patty, I've already told her I was going to share this. So Patty was like the other gals that shared, she was intimidated about doing it because she just knew she wasn't going to do it. She's been walking with Jesus 30 years in the Word in some shape, but has just never read all the way through. And it's been a desire in her heart to do that, but she just wasn't sure she was going to do it. So like a guy, I'm like, I'm going to make sure you do it. And I'm going to read it to you every morning. And that, you know, that was a little intimidating because for you visitors, I have dyslexia. I'm a horrible reader. And I stumble through passages. But I was going to read to Patty. And so we made that commitment. We started reading God's Word together. I would read it out loud to her. And I got to tell you, I was really intimidated. Marcy, one of the biggest reasons I was intimidated is because Patty knows me. I'm not always a nice guy, believe it or not. I can be a jerk. And she knows me. And then here I am reading God's Word out loud. I just was really intimidated. But you know, we made it about halfway through the year and we were reading, and I don't know what made Patty do this, but she opened her Bible and she would just follow along with me. And she put her Bible down in her lap and she looked at me and she said, Jim, you're washing me in the Word. You're washing me in the Word. And it just meant so much to me. And it just carried me on through the rest of the year. And it was a great thing. It's quite a blessing. So young bucks in the room, man, you who have kids and are married and all this, don't feel guilted into doing this with your bride. But what I do want to tell you is put it on your bucket list to do one time in your life with your bride. And I promise you, it is quite a blessing. And I know not everybody can do it right now because you got kids, but put it on your bucket list. Put it in your back pocket, Kevin, and make sure you do that when you get married, right? All right, so let's give a round of applause to all the folks who shared. That's a big deal to get up and talk in front of people. And I love seeing how God has just worked in their lives and He's worked in our church. And these are just a few of the stories. And as the year wraps up, I want us to continue the momentum that we got. And I want us to move into 2026 with that same hunger for God's Word, that same confidence in the God who speaks. And so starting January 1st, we're going to go through on your seat. I put this, printed this up for you. So if you use a paper Bible, you can take this home. You can fold it up, put it inside your Bible. And this is a 3-month or 3-year, I'll get this straight. Three cycle. We're going to read through the New Testament three times this year. And that's going to be our devotions for this year. It's going to be reading through the reading scripture for today, for the day. And that's starting on Thursday, January the 1st. And then what you'll do is after you're done reading, Aaron has put a list of five questions on the back that you can just think about. And here's the logic behind this. We've spent a whole year reading chronologically through the Bible so that we would know God's story, that we'd understand the flow of Scripture and the flow of God moving in history, in time and space. And now what we want to do is learn how to rightly hear God's word. And these questions are to guide your time in the Scripture. We're going to do that three times through the New Testament. It'll take us through August, the end of August, to do that. Then when we're done with that, we're going to move into the Psalms. And we're going to spend some time, 3 months, reading through the Psalms. And the end of the year, we'll finish with some devotions. But that's what we plan on doing together this year. So it's really easy. So each day, you just read the passage, and then you walk through those questions. And it would be great if you can continue to share with your friends and your family what God has been teaching you and showing you this year. And so, church, we're going to keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep reading. Let's keep listening. And let's keep following Jesus together.